Turn with me, if you would, back to Psalm 27. This song that we just sang, I love this song. I love this song. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. All of God's people can relate to this. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. And that's so true. When the gracious Lord speaks to us, peace comes. There can be so much going on in the world and so much going on in our lives. But when the word of the gracious Lord comes, peace comes. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. And that is so true. That is so, so true. Without Him, this life is vain. This life is empty. Whatever, do what you want to do. Whatever you accomplish, it means nothing. It means nothing. I need thee. God's people say, I need to be with you. I just want to be with you. We've looked at Psalm 27 many times together. Tonight, I really just want to look at one line out of it. I just want us to enter in, and I pray the Lord will reach us and bless us. I'm begging for His Spirit. We need His Spirit. And may the Lord bless us with this line right here. If you look at the end of verse 9, Psalm 27, the end of verse 9, David said, "Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Just leave me not, neither forsake me. Please don't leave me. Please don't forsake me. That is the prayer of a child of God from the time that the Lord reveals Himself to that child till the time that that child leaves this world. That's the prayer. All the days of a child of God. Please don't leave me. Please don't forsake me. Please don't leave. Please come be with me. That is our prayer as we worship. I'm telling you, that is my prayer as I preach. Don't let me stand up here alone. Speak to your people. Don't let me speak to your people. Would you speak to your people? And let me be one of them. Speak to me. And I know you do the same thing as you sit there. You come to hear the word. You come to be fed. And you pray, Lord, please feed me. Please be with me. Don't leave me. Don't forsake me. Do you know why that is truly the cry of a child of God all of his or her days on this earth? You know why that is? It's because the child who has had the God of his salvation revealed to him, with that revelation in seeing God. I mean, when you see God, there comes a point when men and women see God, and as soon as they see God, they see sin. They see man. They see what they are. They see their need. As soon as they see God, they see their need of the God of their salvation. And that sinner knows, that sinner sees, that sinner is convinced of the fact that if it was left up to him or if it was left up to her, seeing this sin right here, they know they would leave the God of their salvation. They would forsake the God of their salvation. If it was left up to us, we would leave and forsake the God of our salvation. That's amazing, isn't it? But we know it's so. That's amazing. We are that sinful. But we know that's so. If it was left up to me, and He didn't keep me, and He didn't stay with me, and He wasn't faithful to me, I would leave Him. I would forsake Him. We're that sinful. So we spend the rest of our days crying, "Lord, please don't leave this in my hands. Please don't leave me and don't leave it up to me. Please don't ever lay the responsibility of our salvation in our hands. You are the God of our salvation. We need You every hour of every day. Please don't leave us." I've known men and women who at one point claimed grace, claimed truth, claimed Christ, claimed, and they're gone. And if God doesn't bring them back, they're gone. "Lord, please don't leave me. Please don't let me go. Please." Christ must be the God of our salvation. He must be the God of our salvation. You say, "Well, why do you say Christ?" That says, "Oh, God of our salvation. Why are you saying Christ?" Here's the reason why. It's because verse 1 in this psalm says that this God of our salvation is our light. That's Christ. It says, "The Lord is my light." Revelation says that in heaven there's no sun, there's no need of the sun. The Lamb is the light thereof. All the light you need. All the light there is. That's Christ. It goes on to say, "He is our salvation." That's Christ. Salvation's of the Lord. Call His name Savior. He shall save. It goes on to say, "He is our strength." That's Christ. The right hand and the holy arm of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, "He is the beauty we behold." That's Christ. The King in His beauty. I love that verse right there. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Does anything sound better to you? Does anything sound better? Verse 5 says, "We are hiding in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle." We're hiding in Him. That's Christ. The rock that we're hiding in and standing on, that rock was Christ. Verse 6 says, "He is our head. Now shall mine head be lifted up." That's Christ. The head of the body, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Verse 8 says, "It's His face that we seek." When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said unto thee, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." That's Christ. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, "It's His way that we are taught and led into." That's Christ. He said, "I'm the way. I am the way." Verse 13 says, "He is the goodness of the Lord." I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. If I did not have in my heart faith that was waiting, believing and hoping and waiting to see the goodness of the Lord, I would have already fainted. I would have already fainted. That's Christ. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way. Verse 13, He's the goodness. Verse 14 says, He's the one we're waiting on. Wait on the Lord, it says. Wait on the Lord. That's Christ. He said, if I go, I will come again to receive you to myself. The God of our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead is made known to us in the person of Christ. And I just want us to see that for just a second. And I want to see the fact that not only is He the God of our salvation, but He's the God that will not leave us and will not forsake us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. David said, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now the comforting thing about saying He is the God of our salvation is it means He's able. He is able. That's what Abraham believed. Abraham believed that what he had promised, he was able to fulfill it. He is able to save us. He has saved us. He will save us. And this is what I want us to enter into for the comfort of our hearts. This really did comfort me. This truly has comforted me. There has never been a time when Christ, who is our God, has not been with us and we have not been with Him. There has never been a time. I know that right now He is in the heavens. We said that this morning. He's in the heavens. We're on the earth. I know that. I know that our old sinful nature is naturally separated from God. I know that. But for every soul that God chose, every soul that God set His affection on, we are with Him in mind, we are with Him in heart, in will, in purpose, in desire, now, and we have always been with Him in mind, in will, in heart, in purpose, in desire, since eternity past, since before the foundation of the world. We have been with Him at all times. How do we know that? Turn with me to a few places here. Let's go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He did not say, I will love thee with an everlasting love. Although He will. But He didn't say, I will. He said, I have. I have. As far back as eternity goes. As far back as eternity goes. As long as never beginning is. If you can get your mind around not beginning, everlasting, eternity past, not beginning, you were in the mind, in the heart, in the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were with him individually. Individually. He knew his people by name. Isn't that amazing? He knew every single one of his people by name. And God doesn't deal in time, but it's the only way I know to say it. And it's the only way we know to think of it. But for eternity of time, he has thought on his people. He has loved his people. That's the reason why he drew his people. Verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." That's why I've drawn you. It's because I have loved you and loved you and loved you and thought on you and desired you. And that's why I have drawn you to myself. Here's another scripture. How do we really know that he knew his people and loved his people and had his people with him in his heart all the way back then? How do we know? Turn with me to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him," and that's speaking of the adversary, "all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." That word "from" means before. He is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Why would God need a Lamb slain before the foundation of the world? It was to appease himself and to put away the sin of his people. Somebody will say, "Well, he didn't have people before the foundation of the world." Oh, yes, he did. That Lamb slain was his everlasting love for them. Ephesians 1, verse 4 says, "He chose us in him," in that Lamb slain. Christ Jesus our Lord, our Lamb slain. "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Before the foundation of the world, he was the Lamb slain, dwelling on his people, in him, holy and without blame, before him in love. How did he do that? Ephesians says he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. That means he provided a Lamb slain. That's what it means. He paid the price. We were with him. He was with us all the way back in eternity past. David said, "The thoughts that you have had time to think about concerning me, if I could count them, they're more than the sand." They are more than the sand. I just love thinking about that. They are more than the same. How could he love me? How could he love me? We've been with him in his mind, in his hearts, in his thoughts since the beginning. Since the beginning. And then in time, our Lord came to this earth. And while he lived on this earth, he went to the cross and he died on this earth. And in all of that, we were with him. We were with him. That's why he did it. We were with him. That's the reason why he did it. We were with him. Look with me at John chapter 13. John 13, verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own." Does that mean his own which were in the world at that time? Having loved his own which were in the world. No. All of his own. All of his own that were in the world or would ever be in the world. Turn over to John 17 and look at verse 9. John 17, 9, he said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine. And thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them." All of them. Verse 20 right here, he said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." I'm praying for all of them. In John 10, he said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them I must bring. Them also I must bring." From the cross, as he was paying the sin debt for his people, when he said, "Father, forgive them," he meant all of them. This is just an unfathomable thought to me. But as he hung there in the place of every single one of his people. And he knew exactly who he was hanging there for. And we were in his mind. And I think, how could all of his people from all over this world throughout all ages of time be in his mind? How could he think on all of us? I can't fathom how we're all going to sit at his feet. But this is the God of our salvation. And we were with him. All of his people. The Apostle Paul was not called until our Lord was already ascended back to glory. But he said, "I was crucified with Christ. I was crucified with him." All of God's chosen people were. We all died with him. We were all buried with him. When our Lord arose from the grave and ascended back to glory, we all ascended with him. We were with him. Ephesians 2 says, "He raised us up together with him." Look with me at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, verse 10. "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. That's how he entered glory again, saying, they're all with me. I and the children, none of them are lost. In eternity past, we were with him. When he came to this earth and lived on this earth, we were with him. We walked with him. In him. When he died and rose again, we were with him. When he ascended up into glory, we were with him. And I absolutely love this. I love this. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. I get excited when I read this. 1 Thessalonians 4, look with me at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now watch verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I just love the thought of that. Will God bring with him? When God comes back to fold this whole thing up on the final day, he's bringing us with him. We're all coming with him. He is never going to leave us. He's never going to leave us. I've heard that parable so many times of the 90 and 9 which were left. He went to seek that one. That one is all of God's people. Because I used to think, don't leave me for a minute. Don't leave the pen unsupervised. I'm not going to make it. He hasn't. He hasn't and he won't. One of these days when we are finally in his presence, we're going to be with him. He will never leave us. We'll never be out of his sight. Never. If he comes, that's just like this morning. We saw Elijah went and said, you tarry here. Elisha said, I'm not. I'm staying right with you. Everywhere he went, Elisha went. Everywhere Christ goes, his people are going. Even on the day when he comes back to fold this whole thing up, they're all coming with him. We're all coming with him. Verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, meaning you can count on this. This is a faithful saying. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord from that moment on. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So shall we ever be with the Lord. God's people want one thing. I want to be with you. I want to be near you. Never will we be without him. Never will we be away from him. And we're not right now. We weren't. He's been with us all the days of our life. And he's with us right now. When he said, I will never leave you and never forsake you, he meant it. That's not a figure of speech with him. The God of our salvation meant it. No matter what we go through, he says, I am right beside you, holding your hand. These dear precious brethren who are going through great, great trials, I want them to hear that. I want them to know that. Whatever we go through, he says, I'm sitting right here beside you. I will hold your hand. I won't go anywhere. There's nothing more important than this right here. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. I'm right here with you. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's our comfort. Honestly, that's our comfort. Like that dear brother Hubert I've told you about so many times. That man, he had a condition where he couldn't stand upright, and he ended up needing care. His wife had to take care of their daughter, and so he didn't want to overburden her. He checked himself into a nursing home, and some brethren went to visit him, and when they walked into his room, he'd just bent in half looking out the window, and they said, Brother Hubert, are you all alone? And he said, No, brother, the Lord is with me. Every day, the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for this hour. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. What a comforting promise. It gives me the warm and fuzzies to know I've always, from eternity, I was with him. On this earth, on that cross, in the grave, in the ascension, I was with him. He's with me right now. He's with us right now. And I'm never going to be out of his sight. I never have been out of his sight. His people have never been out of his sight. Never will be. May the Lord comfort our hearts with those words. All right, Brother Eddie.